You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you've traveled around Sacramento or California as a whole, you might have noticed a growing number of electric bicycles on the road. These clean two-wheelers have become an increasingly popular alternative to driving, with sales that outpace the demand for electric vehicles. But the growth in popularity has also led to a rise in injuries attributed to e-bikes. Here in California, a new initiative aims to understand and address e-bike dangers without compromising ridership. But at the same time, state officials recently pulled the plug on a popular program that aimed to make e-bikes more affordable. Joining us now to talk through these developments is CAP Radio State House politics reporter Gerardo Zavala. Hey, Gerardo.
Hey, Vicky.
Okay, so let's set the stage a little bit. Exactly how popular have e-bikes become in California compared to electric vehicles?
Yeah, as you've noted, they've gotten really popular in the last 10 years, and that's largely driven by companies like Jump or Lime that seemingly overnight filled city streets with these e-bikes and e-scooters that anyone could use. Looking at national data from 2021, e-bike sales outpaced electric vehicle sales significantly. I think there was roughly 600,000 EVs sold that year compared to nearly 900,000 e-bikes. And that trend has largely remained unchanged since then.
Yeah, I remember when I first tried an e-scooter or an e-bike and I was a regular cyclist throughout the city. It's different. It's definitely faster, especially with the scooters. I was a little more uneasy about doing an e-scooter, but nonetheless, increasingly popular. You see them on the road all the time. Has that also translated to more risk on the road? Are officials worried about this?
Yeah, so it is pretty hard to say because there isn't much reliable data to look at. E-bike accidents have only recently started to be reported separately from regular bike accidents. The best data I found was from the American College of Surgeons. They estimated that at least 20,000 people are injured and 3,000 are hospitalized annually because of e-bikes. But they say that number is likely underreported.
So what makes riding an e-bike more dangerous compared to a regular bicycle?
Generally speaking, e-bikes tend to be heavier. They allow cyclists to ride faster. Those things combined make the bike more dangerous for pedestrians, but also for the cyclists when a collision occurs. It is important to note that not all e-bikes are the same. Class 1 e-bikes, for example, are pedal assist bikes, and they stop assisting cyclists when the bike reaches 20 miles per hour. Similarly, Class 2 can be pedal assist or have a throttle, and they can also reach 20 miles an hour. Class 3 bikes, on the other hand, and this is what has some people worried, are pedal assist and allow cyclists to reach nearly 30 miles per hour. However, some have found ways to modify their bikes to go upwards of 60 miles an hour or more.
Oh, so that's like a vehicle or a motorcycle.
At that point, yeah.
Do you have to wear a helmet?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Helmets are definitely required because I spoke to one person about this. They essentially said that helmets that we have for regular bikes are only rated for 20 miles an hour. And, you know, these bikes are going 30 or more sometimes if they're modified. So you do actually need special helmets, not motorcycle helmets, but there are special helmets that you need to consider buying if you're going to ride one of these e-bikes.
Yeah, that makes sense. What other legal requirements or restrictions do e-bikes need to meet?
It's also tricky to answer largely because of how e-bikes have been classified under the California Vehicle Code. It states that the bikes can have an electric motor of less than 750 watts. Asha Weinstein Agrawal is a professor of urban and regional planning at San Jose State, whose research focuses largely on biking. She told me that 750 watts is roughly equivalent to 1 horsepower. The issue she has with that is that the vehicle code doesn't specify whether that means peak power or continuous power.
So if we have children or maybe adults who don't have a driver's license, don't know the rules of the road, out riding on a device with 750 watts of continuous power, that is literally the power of a horse to operate this other small lightweight bicycle.
Wow. Yeah. And unlike, you know, getting behind a car as a driver or riding a horse, typically there's some training that is attached to that. So how have these dangers played out here on the trails and roads that we have here in Sacramento?
So we don't have exact data on how many accidents or injuries involving e-bikes have occurred in Sacramento because that data hasn't reliably been tracked. But anecdotally, we are seeing some serious accidents that seem to be made worse by the fact that e-bikes are involved. I spoke with Victor Massenkoff with the American River Bike Patrol. He recalled a recent head-on collision between someone on an electric tricycle and a cyclist on a traditional road bike.
He had come around a turn, a sharp turn at speed, and I think due to probably inexperience, went wide on the turn, basically came through it too fast, and really wasn't in full control of the bike, and ended up colliding head-on with a cyclist, an experienced cyclist on a regular road bike, and caused the cyclist to go basically over their handlebars and over into the trike.
Massenkoff said both cyclists experienced only mild injuries, but the road bike was destroyed by the e-trike. Christopher Warren, also with the bike patrol, saw a more serious accident between two e-bikes. One of them wasn't wearing a helmet and hit their head on the pavement.
The woman I had was completely incoherent. She didn't know her name. She didn't know where it was. She didn't know what had happened. She was very concerning to me. The only thing I could do for her at that point was to protect her spinal cord, may have her sit there and calm her down, talk to her, see if I can get her to start understanding where she is, or she could tell me what happened, and she never could.
Both of them say the biggest issue with e-bikes is inexperience and a lack of understanding of how dangerous these devices can be.
Okay, so how well informed are riders about the dangers by e-bikes?
So many people actually purchase these e-bikes online without even knowing if they're legal. One study looking at e-bikes parked at Marin County and Contra Costa high schools found that only 12% clearly met the legal definition of an e-bike in California. So you could be an informed rider and follow the rules, but still be riding these bikes that are technically not even allowed based on current requirements here in California. Some solutions that I heard while reporting for this story include, you know, requiring retailers and manufacturers to let people know if these bikes are legal where they live and to educate them on safety guidelines they should be following.
Okay, so there seems to be a patchwork and a gray area happening here when it comes to e-bikes. So recently, there was a new statewide coalition that launched. It is the California Independent Electric Mobility Council. So who are some of its members? What are they about?
So the council is comprised of about 12 members and organizations, and that's including the California Emergency Nurses Association, the Motorcycle Industry Council, the DMV, and the Department of Public Health. And it's really just there to do research on what makes e-bikes dangerous.
Okay, what actions could it take?
So it'll be studying what makes e-bikes dangerous, as I said, and how to make them safer without discouraging people from purchasing or using them. There are concerns among California bike advocates that local and state rules around e-bikes vary widely, which could discourage people from riding them. Their focus is going to be on education, not enforcement. Here's Jared Sanchez with Cal Bike, the organization that spearheaded the creation of the council.
Education is key, and that trying to better clarify existing law about what devices are is key. Not just educate riders, parents themselves, but also law enforcement, police officers as well on the ground. I think more police agencies are getting money to do education around biking and walking safety, including identifying certain devices, whether they're legal or illegal or not.
Okay, so they're going to be doing a lot of research. Will the council provide suggestions or can it actually make rules like policy?
That's a great question because it is independent from the state, so it can't actually make policies or enforce anything. They're going to meet 6 times over the next year to discuss issues, not just around e-bikes, but also e-scooters and any other electric mobility device. They'll talk to top experts in the e-mobility space, including health professionals, police enforcement organizations, bike manufacturers, legislative staff, and even lobbyists, just to try to learn more about what the biggest issues are. And this council hopes that through research and education, they can create recommendations for state and local governments to look at when they're writing legislation or even making their e-bike policies and guidelines.
Okay, so how are people responding to this new council?
Mostly positively. People I spoke to are excited that there is a group trying to address these issues so that California can have a more streamlined approach to e-bike regulations. But one person I spoke to was originally excited about the council until I told them that it won't be able to actually enforce anything.
Okay, so for those who want some more teeth, what does the interest among lawmakers look like to address the concerns about e-bikes?
So there have been some attempts to regulate e-bikes, but a lot of them focus on punitive measures. For example, Assembly Bill 1773, which was introduced last year but quickly failed, would have prohibited e-bikes on boardwalks. Bike advocates warn that restricting e-bike access like this or even adding harsh punitive measures would discourage some people from purchasing them.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio reporter Gerardo Zavala about new developments concerning e-bikes in California. Okay, so speaking about the popularity of e-bikes, which is, you know, outpacing electric vehicle sales, there was also this big announcement last week that the third round of applications for California's e-bike incentive program, it won't be happening as the funding is being diverted elsewhere. So for those who aren't aware of it, what is this program? Why did it get started in the first place?
So the official name of it is the California E-Bike Incentive Project, and it originated from a Senate bill that passed in 2021, authorizing the California Air Resources Board, or CARB for short, to provide vouchers for lower-income individuals. The vouchers were for $1,750, but some received $2,000 if they met certain requirements. The goal was to remove the barrier for Californians who want an e-bike but couldn't afford one.
Yeah, they can be expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can cost several thousand dollars. So how much has the state allocated for this program?
So the state had $31 million dedicated to it, over half of which was never spent. There was $18 million left in funding when CARB decided to redirect the funds to another program, citing budget concerns.
So this was a third round that has since, you know, been canceled. How popular was this incentive program?
It was extremely popular, and not just among advocates, but also the general public. According to Cal Bike, the first application window, which was December of last year, saw nearly 100,000 applications, and the state only distributed 1,500 vouchers then. It was also popular among bike shop owners because the project developed a network of bike shops throughout the state where recipients were able to use their vouchers.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been around for that long, but was there a gauge if these voucher applications or just these vouchers translated into more e-bikes on California roadways?
So I did ask for data from CARB on the impact of the program, but I haven't heard back. But as you said, it is important to note that this program hasn't even been around for a full year, and there's only been two vouchers. And I think 2,100 vouchers total have been distributed. So it's hard to say the impact. Mike Majors owns the electric bike shop along Broadway. He told me he was disappointed to learn that the project was ending so soon.
It didn't last very long, so I can't really say, you know, how effective it actually was. We think we need a little more long-term data to figure out, you know, the pros and cons of the voucher program.
Major said only two people actually came in to use the vouchers at his shop, likely because only 2,100 vouchers were distributed across the entire state.
Okay, but there's still millions of dollars left in this pot. So where is that money going?
Yeah, so the $18 million in remaining funds were redirected to Clean Cars for All, which allows people to turn in their old gas-guzzling cars and get vouchers of around $10,000 or more to help them purchase an EV or hybrid vehicle. The cars would need to be 8 years old or newer. I spoke to Lindsay Buckley, a spokesperson for the Air Resources Board, and she told me that electric bikes and zero-emission motorcycles are actually options for people. But the issue with this program is that it requires individuals to, one, have an old high-polluting vehicle, and two, to trade that in to qualify for the voucher. I asked how the process would go if participants went down this route. You know, would they get some money back since most e-bikes are much cheaper than EVs? CARB has not gotten back to me on that yet.
So when it comes down to the money, if this was a budgetary issue, the state budget was already approved months ago. So what is the justification for this change now?
Yeah, I think that's actually where this gets a little interesting. CARB has not issued any official public statement or even updated their website to reflect this change. In fact, the e-bike incentive project website was still up as of this morning, so people might be applying without even realizing it's no longer a thing. That led advocates like Andrew Wright with Cal Bike, which was one of the first to report this change, to question how this decision could be made so long after the budget was approved and without any public input.
that I think is what has rankled some of us most, is this quiet just sort of pushing under the rug, because we don't exist to break news. And the fact that we did is very odd.
Well, okay, so we're having a little technical issue with the soundbite that you have with Andrew Wright. But when you're talking to the many people that you've talked to about this e-bike issue, is there a clear benefit or detriment to switching funding from e-bikes to cleaner cars?
Yeah, I asked CARB, but didn't get a clear response. They simply said the decision was made in response to the state's budget deficit. Buckley put it like this.
Unfortunately, we're in some pretty tight budget times right now with the state budget. And so, unfortunately, the legislature had to make some really tough decisions last year about what was going to be funded and prioritized. And so this is ultimately the outcome of legislative direction, those tough decisions that were made around funding in order to balance our state budget.
Did the ending of this incentive program come as a surprise? I mean, you mentioned people could go online right now and still think it's going.
Yeah. And as we said before, it was a very popular program among Californians. Advocates saw no sign or reason that the state would decide to cut the program. You know, the state had committed these funds through a Senate bill in 2021. So some are questioning whether this decision was even allowed.
What has been the response been from advocates?
So from my reporting, it sounds like they're worried about two things. The first is that less people interested in ditching their cars or relying on them less won't be able to do so without this program. The average price of an e-bike is around $2,000. Higher-end models can go up for $6,000 or more. The voucher could either cover the entire cost of an entry-level e-bike or make those higher-end model options actually more attainable. The second is that this decision goes against the state's goal to cut emissions and reduce congestion on our streets. A CalBike spokesperson told me that this does nothing to alleviate traffic because an electric vehicle takes up just as much space as any other car. E-bikes, on the other hand, could lead to fewer cars on the road.
Gerardo, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Gerardo Zavala is one of Cap Radio's State House politics reporters, and we've been talking about new developments around e-bikes in California, from a new statewide coalition to look at the risks on the road, to officials redirecting funding from the popular e-bike incentive program to go towards electric vehicles. Still ahead, we'll learn about an immersive exhibit in Placer County called 100 Years of Palestine. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.